All righty. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We have a pretty full agenda. I really find it difficult to do introductions on Zoom. You'd think after 3 years, I'd figure out how to do that in an efficient way. But hopefully folks can put yourselves maybe on gallery or look at the participants and see everyone that's on board. We've got some new folks here. So I really want to encourage thank everyone for joining us. We're trying to build a consistent membership attendance at these meetings. And so what I would like, just so everyone knows each other, I would like to be able to have everyone introduce themselves. And I'm just going to run down the participants list. And if folks could just say hello. For those who don't know me, Peter Souza, town manager in Windsor. And I'm chair of this committee, as well as the town's representative on the policy board. And I'm just going to go right down my participants list in no particular order. Kim, could you introduce yourself, please? Kim Bona.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Kim Bona. I'm a program manager with CROG.
Great. Pauline.
Pauline Yoder, chief operating officer here at CROG.
Okay. And I have next on my list comes up as Zimmerman. I apologize.
First name is Carl. Hi, Carl Zimmerman. I'm from the CTGIS office. I'm here to talk about the geospatial survey this week.
Great. Thank you for joining us, Carl.
Thank you.
Lori Spielman.
Lori Spielman, first selectman, town of Ellington.
Great. Robin.
Hello, my name is Robin Nichols, and I am a principal program manager for municipal services at CROG.
Great. Andy Plainville.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Andy Sirioli. I'm the assistant town manager in Plainville, and I am a member of the Municipal Services Committee.
Great. Caitlin.
Hi, everyone. Caitlin Palmer. I am the director of regional planning and development here at CROG.
Great. David from Tolland.
David Corcoran, Director of Planning and Development, Town of Tolland.
Great. David from Sullington. Dave. All righty. Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth Sanderson, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Coordinator at CROG.
Great. Eric Snowden.
Hi, Eric Snowden. I'm the IT and GIS manager here at CROG.
Fantastic. Fred Presley.
Good afternoon, everyone. Fred Presley, town manager, Weathersfield.
Fantastic. George McGregor.
George McGregor. I'm the planning director in Simsbury.
Fantastic. I think Grace was next on my list.
Grace Tiazzi, assistant town manager, Avon.
All right. Kasia from Manchester.
Hi, everyone. Kasia Percielo, assistant town manager in Manchester.
I always want to say South Windsor. I'm sorry about that. I have to. And then I think we got Kyle from CROG.
Kyle, I think you're muted. Hi, Kyle Shield, principal planner at CROG.
Hey, Kyle. And Lisa Ellington.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lisa Houlihan. I'm the Ellington town planner.
Welcome. And Mark from Plainville. All righty. Mr. Hart.
Good afternoon, everyone. Matt Hart, executive director here at CROG. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And Megan from Tolland.
Megan Massa. I'm the Projects and Grants Manager for the Town of Tolland.
Fantastic. Maureen?
Maureen Goulet, Principal Program Manager in our Regional Planning and Development Department.
Great. And then Tom from Simsbury.
I'm Tom Fitzgerald. I'm Acting Deputy Town Manager in Simsbury.
All right. Who did I miss on my long list? I haven't had 25 people attend in months. I'm like, this is fantastic. So,
Aaliyah.
Right.
Aaliyah.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Aaliyah Miller. I'm the Senior Communications Manager here at CROC.
All right. And did we get George McGregor from Simsbury? Not sure, George, if we got you or not.
You got me. I've introduced myself.
Cool. All righty. So we have going to go to reports from chair and staff before we get to our business items. I do not have anything else to say at this point other than thank you very much for all the planners that have joined us. It's great to see everyone online. And I'm going to hand it over to Matt. Do you have anything you want to report at this point?
Thank you, Peter. I'll keep mine very short because I'd like to cede some of my time to Elizabeth to talk about the BIL and IIJA. So from me, as you see on the slide here today, some folks have heard about it already. We should have invitations going out today or tomorrow. Hope people are available to attend CROG's annual meeting. We're changing up the venue a little bit and the format a little bit this year. Excited about that. We're going to have an afternoon meeting that will feature a social hour at the end. So we're going to hold the meeting on Thursday, June 15th. As you see here, it'll run, the formal program will run from roughly 1:30 to 3 o'clock or so, 3:30. And we're going to hold it at the Riverfront Boathouse on the river in Hartford, weather permitting. And it appears as though the floodwaters have receded and we should be in good shape. Hopefully I didn't just curse us there. But looking forward to a good session. Michelle McCabe, who many of you may know, is the relatively new executive director at Connecticut Main Street. She will be our keynote speaker. She's going to talk about successful downtowns here in Connecticut and around the country and really what communities can do to remain successful coming out of COVID. So I hope most, if not all of you, are able to attend that meeting. Secondly, want to touch on our strategic visioning, our strategic planning project, which we've kicked off in earnest. And that's designed to identify our priorities for the next 3 to 5 years. We're going to hold a staff retreat next week on the 25th. And then we're going to hold a retreat the morning of June 12th with the policy board. Peter will certainly be attending as your representative, as will hopefully other policy board members who are representatives of Municipal Services Committee. And I could very well see some potential action items for this committee coming out of that strategic visioning process. So those were the handful of items I wanted to touch on today. Peter, I don't know if Pauline has anything else quickly so that we can give Elizabeth some airtime.
I'll just be very quick. Treated road salt is now, Kim is collecting quantities for that, and that's a no piggybacking bid. So if you don't have so please get your quantities into Kim. That's the only thing. And if anybody's interested in participating in the RPIP grants, you know, here's your PSA. Please contact me.
Great. Thanks, Pauline. And Elizabeth, do you want to talk a little bit about all this free money that's out there?
Free money, how they phrase it, our money coming back to us, but we just have to take action to get it back. So a couple of programs to highlight. Right now, we have the Safe Streets and Roads for All. Applications are the notice of funding opportunity was released at the end of March, and applications are due July 10th. So we are coordinating so far with 5 member towns on applications, and still time to get in if you have a project that would meet this criteria. These are safety projects that are featured in the existing safety action plan, which is CROG's Regional Transportation Safety Plan. So please feel free to reach out for more information, and I can send you the intent to apply form if you have not received it yet. And so that's the big one. We have $1 billion nationwide that's up for grabs. And so everybody's got, I'm sure, an unsafe intersection or corridor that would be looking for improving. So this is an opportunity to do that. The next program is PROTECT. It's a discretionary grant program, stands for Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, and Cost-Saving Transportation. And this is $850 million available to make transportation infrastructure more resilient to climate change and extreme weather events, and aims to reduce damage and disruption to the transportation system, to improve safety of the traveling public, and improve equity by addressing the needs of disadvantaged communities who are most often vulnerable to the hazards. And we have information about this program, a summary of the notice of funding opportunity on the CROG BIL webpage, and applications are due August 18th for this application. Excuse me. Another opportunity to bring to your attention is the US EPA opened the 2023 Clean School Bus Program. They've allocated $5 billion over the 5-year term of this program to replace existing school buses with zero emission and low emission models. And there's information about that program on EPA's website. And if you're interested in applying, reach out, contact me, let me know how I can help with that. And also wanted to just throw out that we are offering a project screening service. So if you're not sure what project, you have a project and you're not sure how to fund it, you could share that project with me and I can do a review against these programs here, as well as the numerous others that have come out over this past year that we're tracking, and see if we can help get your projects funded. So any questions, feel free to reach out. esanderson@crog.org is my email address. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Any questions for Matt, Pauline, or Elizabeth? All right. Very good. Let's move to item 4. And first, we're going to kick off with GIS discussion. And not sure if this is going to directly to Carl or Eric. Are you going to do an introduction?
Sure, I can do an introduction. We have Carl Zimmerman with us. He's the GIS coordinator at the GIS office at OPM. He also previously worked at WestCog, working with a lot of data and GIS there. And he's here to talk to us about the 5-year geospatial strategic plan and outreach that OPM is doing. So take it away, Carl.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you all for having me. Should I go ahead and share my screen or just talk from the slide of my own computer?
I gave you hosting ability, right. So if you want to share, go for it.
Okay. All right, can everyone see my slide? Okay, good. Thank you. This will be short, but again, I'm representing the new CTGIS office, and this office is tasked with coordinating and procuring geospatial data and geospatial technology across the state. This had been a project that had been on and off for the last 10 or 15 years, and Eric and others who have been in the GIS community know that this has kind of been a dream to have a centralized GIS and location data office so that it would help coordinate and harmonize data across the state. There are many good things about home rule, but it's when you have home rule towns, it's harder to coordinate, especially when you're trying to do things in a centralized basis. So this is a This is a office that comes out of that attempt to improve and harmonize central planning for data analysis and procurement. The office is only about a year and a half old, and as part of that process, a GIO was hired. I'm the GIS coordinator. I'm not the GIO. That person is Alfredo Herrera. And the statute basically is looking to coordinate and procure data. One of the key components of this is to use a five-year strategic plan. And we've never had a geospatial planning process before. And what I'm doing is here to introduce you to that idea and then ask your help. This office works with the COGS, the towns, and the state agencies, among others, and also other folks in different domains and industries, such as the private sector, engineering, emergency management, and the like. And so the data we have is very much cross-discipline and cross-government boundary. And so it helps all of us do our jobs and especially do long-term planning. So the geospatial strategic plan is not an operations plan. Let's just be very clear about that. It is about the values and objectives that the state has for location data and all of the constituents and stakeholders, including the municipalities such as yourselves. We're using a template that comes from what's called NISGIC, which is an ugly acronym for one of the few National Geographic Information Councils. This is closely affiliated with the federal government. So the style of this plan, it follows previous work laid out by them and by more recent activities like the states. So again, it's a plan of values and objectives. It's not an operations plan. The format briefly is to collect data, and this is going on right now. The data includes interviews, lit reviews, and also surveys, and that's why I'm here to request you. The intention is to get as deep into the state as possible and work with people who don't normally hear about data efforts. The kind of data we produce and manage are the state imagery. So that's the kind of Google Earth-esque high resolution imagery that everyone uses in things like wetlands management and planning and lots of other emergency management applications. I'm also doing interviews with executives across the state. In June, which is coming up shortly, I'll synthesize that data. And then as the summer goes on, we will combine what we've learned from the interviews and data collection process into a strategic planning process where we have themes and issues. Then finally, the operations piece will occur in later in the fall where we try to combine what we've learned from stakeholder outreach, from people like yourselves, and with what we've learned from background research, and try to come up with a five-year plan that fulfills both roles. Right now, this group is run by a work group, and there are a couple of town members on it, a gentleman from South Windsor and one from Meriden. I'm trying to get as many municipalities involved as well, and that's why I'm speaking with you. So if you do this survey, we will look at your opinions. And very importantly, we have a space not only for like multiple choice type questions, but if you have specific concerns, you feel unaddressed, or you don't hear anyone listening, there's open-ended questions that you can answer that will help us figure out what we need to do in the next 5 years to provide the best technical services and geospatial and location data for the COGS and towns. The survey takes about 15 minutes. We have about 50 responses so far. It includes rank order questions, open-ended questions, as I mentioned, and then the Likert questions are these degrees of agreement and disagreement. So there are a variety of different questions about a variety of topics, but basically we're trying to get a baseline because this is the first of its kind. And then going forward, we'll continue to modify the strategic plan as we learn and grow with the rest of the state. Here are a couple of examples of the questions you might have. One set of questions deals with technologies that might be relevant in the next 5 years and your viewpoint on them. One, to me, obvious question is, will everyone be using the cloud in 5 years? Another one is, have you heard of the GeoData Portal that we are using, which is the repository for geospatial data? And then you have an open-ended question where you can ask or discuss any kind of critical points that you think are important, but maybe you're not hearing from the state or from the COGS about what you think is important. This is running through an application called Survey123. It's a simple online survey, which I'll give you the link in a moment. And I believe Kim will also pass on to you after this is done. Once we get input, then we can see the kind of results we might get. I asked one question about technology change, and so far at least the staff does not believe that's a big issue, but they are worried about the frequency in which they get things like imagery and address data sets. So briefly, again, please fill out the survey. I've put the link here. Kim will pass it along with my presentation. If you wish to discuss anything further with me or want to be interviewed, because we do have interviews for critical stakeholders and CEOs, you're welcome to email me and we can discuss that as well at my email at carl.zimmerman@cta.gov. And with that brief overview, I give you a moment to ask any questions you'd like.
Great. Thank you very much, Carl. Appreciate the overview. Does anyone have any questions for Carl? Just jump right in. I can't see everyone on my screen, so feel free to jump in. So, Matt?
Yeah, Matt.
Oh, thank you, Peter. So thank you very much for your presentation, Carl. And you talked about how this is really the culmination in some ways of years of effort. You know, what are you most excited about for the future, and how can we help you keep the momentum going?
Well, two things. The way to get the momentum going is to find out what it is that towns need. And we were particularly concerned about only talking to the same people we always talk to. And so you don't need to have a lot of experience with this kind of data to answer the survey. If you have constituents that you feel like would benefit from either these kind of data sets or extra technical skill, those are both relevant issues. And then regarding your question about the excitement, I think the most important thing is that these are critical tool sets for planning towns and communities and in an effective and meaningful way, and giving people more information about their communities. And these data sets then can be applied across the state in a very efficient manner. So once you have a COG-wide or statewide data set, then you can start asking critical questions about where people live, how they use transportation, how they're impacted by the environment, what their housing systems are like. So it's basically a foundational tool set that allows you to ask critical questions about your communities and planning in a variety of domains.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle. You answered one of my questions about how many folks from an organization can respond, and it sounds like as many as that are appropriate.
Yep, we like. In fact, if you get the survey and you want to pass it on to your planner or your public works official or whatever, whoever you feel is appropriate or you think they have other contacts, please do.
Great. One question that pops into mind, this may be a little bit down in the weeds at this stage in the game, but interactions with various utility companies and gathering their input. I'm thinking of like the Metropolitan District Commission, who serves a large amount of the population in the capital region.
We are reaching out to them. To be honest, I have not yet interviewed them, but I have worked with their service organizations to try to get the survey out. The utilities are critical constituents and important to everyone's quality of life. And so, yes, we want them to be involved for sure.
Yep. Great. Eric, I see your hand raised.
I just wanted to mention one other thing on the state GIS front, and that's that last month the state was flown for orthophotography and LIDAR again. I think the last statewide flight was 2019, and this is much higher resolution than that. And also there's another flight planned in 2026. So I know sometimes with budgeting, you know, for that kind of, some towns, if the cycle isn't coming fast enough with the state, sometimes they do their own flights. So just putting it out there. The stuff that was flown in April, it probably won't be available till towards the end of the calendar year. It takes a lot of time to process. So great. That's it. Thanks.
If you don't mind me just adding, we're also seeing elevation data, which is incredibly useful for things like stormwater modeling and flood zone modeling. And that's extremely accurate, about 1/10 of a foot. And so it's very important for doing town planning to have that up-to-date elevation and topography modeling that we'll have available.
Great. Anybody else have any other questions or comments regarding this 5-year GIS plan? So Kim, just to clarify, are you able to send out the link to that survey to all the members present today, as well as those that aren't?
Yes, I will. No problem.
Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Carl, for joining us and providing that overview. And we'll see if we can rally a few responses to your survey.
Thank you very much, Peter and Eric. And if any of you folks want to just talk about your data issues or things you're trying to do in your towns, please reach out. I'd be happy to discuss anything you have going besides this survey as well.
Great. Thank you very much, Carl. All righty. Like any good staff person, Kim is keeping me on track. Need to go back to approval of the minutes for the April 18th, 2023 meeting. Anybody have a motion? Did I hear somebody make a motion?
Lori,
thank you, Lori. Second?
Second, Andy Cirioli.
Thank you, Andy. Any changes to the minutes as presented? If not, all those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Righty. Anybody opposed or abstaining?
Peter, this is Grace. I'll abstain. I wasn't there.
All righty. Great. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to turn it over to Matt so Matt can provide a little bit of intro to our next topic, which is discussion of the land use and development services.
Yeah, thank you so much, Peter, and very pleased that Caitlin and members of her team were able to join us at today's meeting. Caitlin, as you know, is our recently promoted Director of Regional Planning and Development. And that new department is similar to previous iterations we've had in the past. And members of the committee, you will recall that we reorganized over the summer. And we split our previous consolidated Department of Planning into two entities. So we now have our Department of Regional Planning and Development led by Caitlin, and we have our Department of Transportation Planning led by Rob Eloise. And one of the primary reasons why we made this move, this reorganization, if you will, so that we could better focus on the needs of our land use community, our environmental planning community, our economic development community, you know, which there's a lot of work underway, whether it's our plan of conservation development, the discussions we've had in the past on stormwater management. We just really want to be able to focus on those things. So very pleased that many of the planners across our region were able to join us today. Caitlin's going to talk a little bit about how the organization, how the department is set up and some of their work, introduce you to key staff members, and we'd love to get some of your feedback. So through you, Peter, I'd like to turn the floor over to Caitlin.
Fantastic. All yours, Caitlin.
All right. Awesome. So I don't have a presentation. I'm just going to kind of talk through some things and would love to hear any feedback kind of at the end. So I think from sort of my side of the office, if you will, so the planning development team, we've got Kyle and Maureen joining us today. And we also have another team member, Jacob, as well. And looking, very importantly, looking to hire someone else as well to join our team to backfill my position. So I can give an overview, and then, you know, Kyle and Maureen, if there's anything I'm forgetting, feel free to jump in. But just kind of provide sort of a high level of kind of what folks are working on. There's, as Matt said, there's kind of a lot. So I'm going to touch on like sort of primary things that folks are working on. But that is to say also that we're all kind of working on a little bit of everything and helping out on other folks' various projects. And also we coordinate still pretty closely with the transportation department. Myself, for example, I have several projects still over there, as do some other folks on the planning and development team. So as mentioned, we've got Kyle joining us, been with us almost a year, we're getting there. And Kyle has primarily been doing a couple of things, leading our POCD effort, as Matt mentioned. I'll be the first to admit, I feel a little bit behind. It is due next May, I believe. So we've got our work cut out ahead of us in the coming months. But Kyle's been leading that and has been doing a great job. We'll be doing some, actually quite a bit of probably engagement over the summer. So keep an eye out. Kyle is also helping finish our SEDS, or our Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. He and Maureen have actually been we've tag teaming that. And Kyle will also be doing this, be I think a pretty big lift, but he'll be project managing our climate action plan that we're going to be doing as part of the climate pollution reduction grant. That's a non-competitive $1 million grant, basically for the Hartford, East Hartford, Middletown MSA. So basically from the top of Connecticut to the bottom of Connecticut, straight through the middle. We'll be coordinating with the other COGs as well. And that's a big one. The application is due this month. And the quick timeline or a quick turnaround on the first item, which is a priority climate action plan, also due next March or May. So we'll be busy on that. And he's helping out on several other items as well. Maureen is also joining us. Maureen has been at CROG for quite some time. She took a little bit of a hiatus, but she's back now and back with the planning and development side. So in addition, everyone is, it's all hands on deck for the POCD. So Maureen is obviously assisting with that, doing a big lift with Jacob actually on our public engagement component. And also, like I said, working on SEDS and helping hopefully close that out in the relatively near future. If you don't know, but most of you probably already do, Maureen is our project manager for our Brownfields program. So that includes our assessment program as well as our revolving loan fund. And notably, we are moments away from signing, or have we signed our first loan? So Maureen's crossing her fingers. We are this close. We have not done it. And actually, my understanding is also when we sign that loan, we will be freeing up more assessment dollars. So that's very exciting. Maureen will also be taking the lead on, not to be outdone with other climate related and resiliency efforts with our climate action plan efforts, but we are also going to be beginning our natural hazards mitigation and climate adaptation plan that we're required to update that. And that's also being paired with another resilient 2.0 effort is what that's called. So she'll be, as I said, PM for that, working hand in hand with Circa, our consultant on that. And we'll be busy full speed ahead on that as well, because that is also due, I think, mid-time next year. So like I said, busy couple of months. And we may also potentially be looking at, as part of the implementation piece of the SEDS, looking to potentially get a fellow for that. That would be a competitive process that just opened. And if we do that, Maureen would be taking the lead on applying and hopefully, you know, helping us secure a fellow for 2 years. Not here is Jacob. So if you don't know Jacob, Jacob Milton, he's primarily responsible for our statutory referral process. So all of our zoning referrals and our comment letters that go out, those all funnel through Jacob. And then he assists with a wide variety of other planning and transportation projects. So obviously the POCD, he is helping me on the statewide grant actually that we're doing for active transportation. So he's my number two on that. And just a variety of other, I think he's helping with RAISE as well as a corridor study that's starting. So lots of things going on. As I mentioned, we'll be hiring a new principal planner. The idea here is that they would be able to jump right into doing some additional project management that we need, potentially taking on some of my current projects. For example, there's an Enfield study redevelopment that potentially would be of interest to other communities as well, other than just Enfield. Hopefully that'll be wrapped up by the end of the year. I mentioned we have a statewide active transportation plan, which is unique, right? We normally stay within our region, but this is in partnership with the Connecticut Department of Public Health. So it's actually statewide. In theory, that's ending this year, but we also applied for another 5 years of funding. So that's a really fun and interesting project, and hopefully we'll get additional years of funding for that. And then also worth mentioning that we're always trying to have an intern on hand. And so we actually just began a new intern this week. So he'll be with us for the summer. And I think it's also worth noting for folks on this call, we have two sustainable CT fellows that are going to be starting. So any communities that are interested in pursuing recertification or otherwise applying or updating any actions, if you have any questions on that, you can just let me know. And they'll be starting right after Memorial Day weekend. So they are always a huge asset. They're incredible folks that they usually find for that program. So very excited for that. Just kind of an overview. I think Matt had kind of asked to talk about, you know, the various ways in which we're engaging with our municipal planning community, folks such as yourself and others. So just first touching primarily on sort of the existing services that we kind of do and offer. I mentioned the zoning referral process. Obviously, that's a statutory requirement that we provide, but we do, you know, communicate with town staff and also our regional planning commission through that process. I'm going to come back around to that, actually. We help with project management on a variety of sort of land use and corridor studies as well. Obviously, I talked about Enfield, and there are others as well that are going on. We use both our regional planning commission as well as our planning and development forum, which is more geared towards town staff, planners, and economic development town staff, as a platform for sharing information, disseminating information, bringing in presentations that we think would be of interest, and also as a peer learning opportunity for the folks that are either on the commission or the town staff. We are looking to try to start holding maybe one or two sort of more in-depth in-person events a year. Our forum and our RPC are all virtual right now, but to kind of get some in-person opportunities, we'd be looking to do that, and potentially holding one later this year on warehousing. Additionally, a few folks, at least on this call, already know this. But we are currently visiting in person each one of our communities. So 38, we have managed to visit, I think it's about 18. It slowed down a little bit during the spring as other things kind of ramped up, but still making pretty good progress. And basically just sort of wanting those conversations to just be a really open dialogue. By no means the only time that we should be having those conversations, but just to sort of open the door, letting the towns lead the conversation. We want to know what towns' priorities are, what their challenges are, and potentially sort of through those conversations, maybe identify ways that CROG can maybe assist all of you, or change how we're currently doing things, or new initiatives potentially. And also as we go sort of identifying kind of common themes that come up, that, you know, again, provide potential ideas for how we can help our communities. As far as sort of moving forward, so we are, I think, you know, including myself, a team of four, right? I'm counting that right. Four officially, and looking to hire and be a team of five, with a lot of required plans going on, the POCD, the natural hazards mitigation, looking to do climate action, have a lot of big projects coming up, but also are already thinking about ways in which we would like to continue or otherwise newly assist our communities. So A, if you ever have any suggestions or ideas, please just let me know. I think one of the one things I'd like to communicate is that our doors are always open, A, for any suggestions, but kind of thinking as far as your zoning regulations and your land use challenges. Obviously, you're required to send us your zoning referrals, but if at any point any of the communities have a question or a perspective or just want a second set of eyes on things that you're not required to send us, but you just kind of want somebody else to take a look, just letting you guys know that we're there. So you can do that anytime, and we'd be happy to take a look for you. One of the things as well, is sort of capacity. I mentioned we're going out to these communities and having these conversations. Capacity for towns is an ongoing theme, I think probably for all of us, CROG as well. We mentioned all that funding coming through, but the capacity to do things with it. And so some of the stuff that we are hearing is, you know, unsurprising that the day-to-day administration takes precedent. And it means that sometimes staff doesn't have time to kind of identify, you know, or reflect on new best practices or work on things that they know they need to do, you know, specifically, again, as it relates to land use. You know you need to change your regulations, but you just don't have a single second with which to actually do any research to move that forward. So the Connecticut Planning Listserv, for those of you who don't know, is a fantastic resource for a lot of those questions to just sort of pull a wide variety of folks. But if there's any way in which we can potentially help you all with that, or if it's a sort of a smaller scale research question, particularly if it's on a problem that is most likely shared by not just yourselves, but others, that's, you know, pretty par for the course. It's not just you. We would love to help you try to identify solutions and then help you, you know, if that is of help to get you to that next step, to just keep us in mind for that. There's a lot of other potential initiatives for us in the future. Recently, also, for those of you who aren't aware, but land use boards and commissions are required to start taking trainings, and they're going to be required to do that and sort of just report to the state that they have been completed by all of their, you know, planning and zoning commissioners and whatnot. So there's the potential that CROG could assist communities in identifying training opportunities. So if that's of interest and would be helpful, just definitely let us know. And we're going to try to coordinate with others that are also in that kind of sphere and doing things along those lines to help get the information out as well. No shortage of ideas, just a shortage on capacity, you know, all around probably. But really just want to make sure that we are doing our best to, you know, again, have that back and forth conversation whenever it's needed, and be of, you know, use and meaningful service to you all. So if there are ever any ideas, to please just let us know.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Caitlin. And you and your team have certainly a full plate. I like to open it up.
We like it. We do like that, though.
Keeps you off the streets. Open it up to questions, comments, ideas. We got all sorts of planners out there today to help educate us. So any thoughts or questions?
Peter, I can put a plug in for something Caitlin might have overlooked. The survey there, if you remember the Public Act 2129 from a few years ago, it imposed a few additional requirements on towns. There was municipalities were given the option to opt in or out. So there's parking regulations and accessory dwelling units. So over the past few months, we did a survey of all 38 towns. The planning directors have reviewed the survey results. We're going to try and publish that this week. So if you want to know what your neighbors are doing, that'll be a service. That report will be out this week. And like Caitlin said, the other thing, introduced was these new requirements on land use commissioners, planning and zoning commissioners. We're working with OPM on that to see if, like Caitlin said, maybe RPC is a venue for that. So maybe we could do 2 hours a week of training through that venue to meet that requirement. So we're trying to work through that issue.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. I know from my perspective, I'd love to learn more about the land use board training, what those opportunities are in a coordinated fashion. So that way there, we aren't all chasing our own tails on that front. I'm not sure combining with CDIS and some other other groups out there.
And there is a, in theory, there is a calendar that is now public on UConn CLEAR's website. Okay. Where they will be posting trading opportunities. The last I looked, though, there wasn't anything available. So we have to work to populate that. And if there's folks that you think have trainings that are available, I think you can submit it and that it would get added to the benefit of everybody. So that's a good add. And I had another thing after Kyle had mentioned something, but I'll come back to it. I see Matt.
Great. Thanks for mentioning the UConn CLEAR. Matt, I see your hand pop up.
Yes, thank you, Peter. And thank you, Caitlin, for your very good overview and Kyle and Maureen for your work. So another related initiative we have underway here at CROG is to build out our GIS capacity and create something of a data center. And much of what we intend to produce would be directly related to supporting our land use community. And could also include model plans, model regulations on a whole variety of land use and development practices and principles. Obviously, we don't want to recreate what the APA and other organizations have available. In some instances, we want to be able to leverage and promote what those organizations have in place. But would love to hear from the members of our planning committee who have joined us today in terms of what information do you think might be most valuable to you that you could potentially obtain from CROG? Thank you.
Mark from Plainville.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I want to say that I appreciate the service, especially in terms of these legislated changes that we have to bring to our commissions. You know, we take them real serious, and we want to make sure that our commissions are acting not only in the town's best interest, but in compliance with the laws that our legislature hands down, many times hands down with a few questions attached to them, not as clear sometimes as we'd like. So, I mean, just in a general sense, I want to say that the service of that you're offering in terms of a sort of a clearinghouse is welcome and it will be used. I mean, I've been calling in at CROG, not regularly, but you know, on occasion, and sometimes we hit, sometimes we miss, but you know, it's nice to be able to have a regional staff to bounce things off of that perhaps know what other communities have been through and are going through. A lot of our offices are staffed at a very low level or not staffed at all. So as we're trying to handle all our applications and juggle these text amendments and so on and so forth, it really does come in handy. So I just want to let you know I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
Anybody else have any thoughts or questions? Because I have two questions. One is a quick update. Where do we stand with the SEDS and what's the time frame to get that? What's the next day milestone, Kyle?
The SEDS is being reviewed and updated, the final draft. We anticipate getting that to the update committee within a week or two. And there's a public review period of about a month or so. So we anticipate this summer the SEDS will be wrapped up.
Great. Thank you. So I encourage folks to next month or so when that gets put out or whenever that time frame gets put out for comments, please take a look at that. That's a that's been a heavy lift for CROG staff and the and the committee, but it's something that certainly is regional in nature and sets this framework for a lot of different future, not only data information that we all can use, but also different grant applications is the foundation for that. So second question is a little bit more about the climate action plan. Certainly something that has been talked about here at the local level and how our local plans can perhaps tie into the regional sustainability or climate action plan. I know it's real early in the process, but maybe if you expound a little bit more on how you see that evolving.
Yeah, I think the ideal would be to position towns for implementation funds, for future implementation funds. So can we take the existing work that you've done, whether it's through sustainable CT certification or if you have a standing sustainability commission or existing plan at the local level, can we integrate it to the state and regional work that we're doing? So that when we get the planning funds, you know, we'll do an RFP for some consultant to kind of tie all these different pieces together. And I'm not sure how it's going to be. I'm envisioning probably some sort of a technical advisory committee comprised of, you know, a handful of municipalities with the appropriate staff to kind of work through these issues. But yeah, the idea would be to take what you've already done at the local level and position everyone for, you know, appropriate opportunities for implementation down the road.
Kyle, do you see it as kind of a overall kind of a benchmark? The region would have a baseline information gathered through the planning process?
Yeah, regional, yeah, a local and a regional greenhouse gas inventory would take in and baseline, and ideally we'll do it sector by sector and you'll have some targets. We'll kind of maybe work backwards from the state model and figure out something with the local and regional level, but yeah, we'll have a baseline to go from. Okay. Yeah.
Great. And the other thing I'd add is if there are folks on the call and you have a town commission or a group or a plan, I don't know if we have our arms wrapped around what everybody has already on the books, and that might help inform kind of future strategies. Because I kind of get the sense that we want the strategies included in our climate action plan so that they can be so that they can access the implementation funds that come later. But I will say the caveat is, and I think we can all agree, the folks that have been on these calls so far across the COGS, this is something that feels a little bit like it's being like a plane that we're building as we're flying it, I think is kind of the analogy that we've used. So we're learning as we are going, and we will bring everyone along for the ride as well. But excited for the implementation dollars that will come.
Thanks for a reminder, Caitlin. Yeah, if anyone on this committee or on this committee has an existing sustainability commission or group in your town, please let me know, email me or Caitlin, because we want to be aware of what's going on. But thank you.
All right. That sounds great. One area that in terms of that data center or clearinghouse is as we all work towards implementing our local housing plans. I see that as a way to be able where we could put either best practices or what our plans are and how we're implementing. I know that's, we all got our plans done last summer. And now it's like, okay, how do we figure out writing new regs and text amendments and all that stuff? So I would be interested in information sharing through that, to the data center or clearinghouse. So, all right. Anybody else have any other thoughts? You see, I said thoughts. I didn't say any requests for work or anything like that. I think Caitlin, you and your team have at least filled up until you get a fifth person, filled. How's that?
I think we got our hands full until like June 2024, right? Maybe, but still always looking for good ideas and projects.
All right. Well, I won't ask about scenario planning software then. I'll save that. How's that?
That sounds good.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Caitlin and team. Appreciate all the work. We're going to move on to municipal information sharing. Everyone got their budget passed? Yes.
Yeah, Plainville got theirs passed at an all-day budget vote on the 25th of April.
And then the town council set the mill rate at last night's council meeting.
Andy, may I ask, what was the percentage increase in terms of the mill rate, if any?
There was a percentage increase. It was about a 2.6% increase. It came out to 0.78 mills.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Anybody else like to share kind of where their budget is or isn't?
Our council just approved ours last night. That also included a mill rate increase of 0.7, which is about 3.2% thereabouts.
Right. All right. Windsor's got adopted by the voters last a week ago, and council set the mill rate last night. It was about a 1% increase in the mill rate. So very low voter turnout, only about 6.3%. Very, very low. I guess the only thing positive is it passed. So anybody else have anything on budget like to share?
Ours is out to referendum today. So hopefully good news.
Best of luck.
We passed a few weeks ago at this point already, but 37.2 millery, which was like a right under a 3% increase.
Great. Thanks, Kasha. So, all right. All righty. Anybody else have any other items under municipal information info sharing? Okay. I'm going to put out my monthly plea. Anybody knows anyone that wants to do some part-time zoning enforcement? Windsor has a great part-time opportunity starting this afternoon if you want. So, sincerity, if you guys know, folks know anybody that's semi-retired, we are looking for anything from 8 hours to 15 hours or 24 hours. So I'm sure everyone else is looking for that same skill set. So, all righty. Future agenda items. We just put a few here for possible discussion. Stormwater management discussion, and that can range anywhere from MS4 implementation, planning, all the way up to stormwater authorities. And Matt, I'm not sure if there's anything new on that front that you'd like to touch base on. I know you've had some conversations at the deep level with deep, though. Anything?
Yes, thank you, Peter. So we are waiting on a couple of grants we had applied for, and I think Maureen did an excellent job putting those together in pretty short order. And we applied for $500,000 in planning funds. DEEP was supposed to announce their decisions on those applications a couple months ago, and hopefully they will soon.
Great.
So we'll be looking forward to utilizing those monies to continue the conversation here.
Great. Another topic that we'd like to revisit is the whole issue of workforce, local government workforce development, and how do we create that pipeline? How do we create those opportunities and a whole host of different disciplines? And so there is a statewide group that's coalescing, and there's going to be a subgroup that's focused on local government that several of us are involved in. So as that starts to evolve, we'll be bringing that topic back to the committee here for discussion and your input and ideas. And so, because some of us are getting a little bit older and we need to make sure we find our replacements. So, all righty. Anybody else have any ideas for future agendas? That way they're throw them out on the table or send them along to Kim or myself. That way that we can plan for as we go into the fall. But I have a funny feeling we're going to have Kyle and Caitlin back some point after Labor Day.
I was going to say that after we visit all the towns, we might want to have a debrief of some sort with the common themes that we're seeing.
Great. Good. Nice idea, Maureen.
And if there's any towns here that are interested and we haven't been to your community yet, and if you're not sure, you can ask me or Kyle, but we would happily schedule them with folks. It's about a 90-minute in-person event. So, very casual, like I said. But they've been excellent. I've really enjoyed them. Learned something new about every community we've been in.
Great. So speaking of future meetings, the next meeting, I believe, is the 20th of June. And so look for that agenda coming out a week or so prior to that. And just for all the folks that have joined us today for the first time, these meetings are open to everyone. So don't feel like you have to be a formal member of the committee to join in. And so all the agenda is always posted on the CROG website several days in advance. Once Kim bugs me to finalize the agenda, she gets it posted right away. So, all righty. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Okay. Again, thank you, everyone, and enjoy the beautiful weather.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you all.